Show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie.
I just called to say.
I think you should glue them to the desk so they can't pick them up.
Oh. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, g'day, Melbourne and Adelaide. How you doing, bros? Triple M's Tom and Ollie here. Hoping you're having a good Thursday night, taking you right through to the weekend, which is definitely tonight. Yeah. You know, the weekend starts tonight.
A nice tailored show tonight, isn't it? As the other big cities listen to the football. Good on you guys.
Can I just say,
enjoy it.
I'm going to be real honest here. I hate Sydney and Brisbane.
Oh, Tom. I agree about Sydney, but Brisbane, I don't mind.
But guys, if you're in Melbourne or Adelaide, definitely don't tell anyone from Sydney or Brisbane that we hate them.
This is all for you.
It's all secret.
We love you guys every day, whereas we pretend to like them most days.
Yeah.
Tom, I mean, you might have heard in that open a bit, there was a guy suggesting sticking a coin to a desk. Now, that refers to the Mick coin.
Oh, we've stolen the Mick coins.
We stole a whole bag. We've since given, there was 10 in the bag.
What?
We've given 9 back. I gave.
Oh,
no, because Belle and I agreed. Belle and I agreed. We can't take all 10 of their coins. We agreed to steal one. Isn't that right, Belle? Do you have it, Belle? Belle's taken it. Where is it? She's pointing at something.
Where's the... It's Belle, in the pencil case.
Don't point on radio, right? What are you doing?
All right, well, this is our lost some steam in the show. Don't worry about that. We'll gather some more steam after this, Ollie. Bakeries are under the spotlight. If you own a bakery, you need to be careful because I'm coming for you, guys. It's after this. Crowded House, Tom and Ollie, Triple M. It's Metallica with Enter Sandman. Before that, Crowded House, something so strong. You better watch out tonight, Ollie. I'm in a weird mood.
Why, Tom?
Don't know. It's Thursday night. I'm ready to get wild, you know?
You didn't ask how my dentist trip went today.
Yeah, because I don't care.
He said I had great teeth. I'm very healthy.
Didn't he also say that you were clenching too much for some reason?
Yeah, he did.
Is that because of the gym or something?
Yeah, no, honestly, he said you're clenching. There's a bit of wearing on the cheek, and that's from clenching from like working out at the gym.
Yeah, it must be. Definitely the gym. You with Triple M's Tom.
Well, I'm not bruxing.
Ollie. What's that mean?
Bruxing. That's when you clench in your sleep.
Oh, yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah. We can all learn something today.
We're going to talk to Fleabag Maddie Rice very soon. She's doing a comedy festival show. Oh, it's going to be great.
Very talented Londoner.
But Ollie, bakeries, you better watch out.
Not Baker's Delight.
Not Baker's Delight, actually.
Oh, good.
Not Baker's Delight.
Not Brumbies.
Not Brumbies.
Okay, well, we won't play this game anymore. tell us why bakeries should watch out.
Went for a little hike the other day, Ollie, in the brand new Subaru XV. Beep, beep, got a new car. Loving it. Go for hikes. That's what I do in my new car. I've got a small SUV. Oh, I'm going to go for hikes.
You're going off-road now, aren't you?
Yep.
To Werribee on the freeway.
Chucked it on X mode. It was pretty cool going down the hill.
X mode?
Yeah. Does your car not have X mode? That's sad. X mode's great for off-roading. It adjusts the traction in the wheels and helps you with hill assist.
Okay. I'm jealous, but go on.
After the hike with my mate Big Cat, we went to the bakery.
Call him by his normal name, maybe.
Matt, we went to the bakery after going for a hike. A small town bakery.
This is a great story so far.
Thank you. We went to a small town bakery, Ollie. And I don't know about you, but
just a small town
I've
bakery
discovered that when you head into a bakery,
yeah,
why is it that no matter what bakery you step into, no matter what town it is in Australia,
everyone looks at you?
They all have the exact same items in the counter. Think about this.
Because they're bakeries. What else are they going to do? They make baked goods.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about the same type of items. I'm saying that every single bakery has the exact same item. Okay, I'm going to run through a list of things that you would find at a country bakery. And you can say yes or no to these.
Yep.
The little shortbreads that are half dipped in chocolate.
Yes.
Yep. The tarts that have the white icing on the top, like a vanilla tart.
Yep.
Yep. A smiley-faced gingerbread man that's in a plastic wrapping.
You're just listing things in a bakery, mate.
But Ollie, think deeper than this. Where are they all coming from? That, does this mean that every single country bakery has the exact same ingredients and the exact same recipe to make the exact same goods?
Maybe. Conspiracy theory.
No, exactly.
No, there's probably like a baker's union. They make them make the same stuff. Otherwise, they get cast out as like freaks.
And we all know, you know, a lot of you bakeries, you're not making that sausage roll I just bought.
Hang on. Are you implying that bakeries are importing all the same stuff from different places?
I am saying that bakeries are not baking anymore, Ollie.
Oh, that is a big claim. And
they should be called...
I don't believe you.
Buyeries. Because they're buying in the goods.
That's a huge accusation.
They should be called fakeries.
Oh, better. You're getting better each time.
Thank you,
go producer. Go one more.
Thank you, producer Bell.
Go one more.
They could be called...
no makeries.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, you were struggling. I had to help you out.
I'm never struggling.
They're all sheep, maybe. Maybe they do make it themselves, but they're all just like a bit sheepish and embarrassed.
All I'm saying is they all have the exact same items at small country town bakeries. So 133353, here's what I want from you. Two reasons to call. A, you want a bakery and I'm exactly right and you're just approving everything that I'm saying.
They're going
to
call up and say, yeah, you got us, Tom.
B,
it's a fraud.
What is an item that you'd see at every single country bakery? I'd like to know. I'd like just to continue this list of items that you'd see at the bakery. But let's chat. Let's discuss. Bakeries, you're under the spotlight. You're being exposed. 133353. How are they doing this? How is every single bakery have the exact same vanilla slice with the white icing on top? And it takes a little bit fake.
And the same tinfoil container.
Yes.
I was going to say custard tart or vanilla. What's it called?
Vanilla slice.
That's it, yeah. No, what's the custardy one with the tinfoil?
Vanilla slice.
No, that's a square. Yeah?
Yeah.
No, the circular ones. The custardy ones.
Custard tart.
It's the worst radio ever. I'm so sorry.
133353. What are some of the items that you'd see at an everyday country bakery? And B.
Yeah, great.
How are the bakeries doing this?
You might have blown open a con.
Mate, I've blown something wide open.
Wide open.
To steal from Hamish. 133353, get involved. It's Cold Chisel now, breakfast at Sweethearts.
Oh, thank
we'll
God.
Slow things down for a bit. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie.
Sweet.
Yeah, good one for Thursday night. Breakfast at Sweethearts, Cold Chisel, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Taking you right through to 10 o'clock. We've got brand new Vance Joy coming up.
Yes
baby. That's up next. But right now, country bakeries are under the spotlight. That's right. If you're driving around Victoria or Adelaide, South Australia, then you're probably going, oh, Tom, you're amazing. Yes, I am. Oh, that's right. Every single country bakery has the exact same baked goods in their cabinet.
They don't do finger buns the way that the big chain bakeries do.
What?
Finger buns, mate.
Yeah. Why are you bringing up finger buns?
I'm just saying not every country bakery has finger buns.
Well, that's not adding to what I'm talking about.
Isn't it?
No, it's detracting.
Or is it?
No, it's not. Do you get what I'm saying?
Look, I have thought about it over the song, and yeah. you might be onto something here, because you're right. There is a lot of very close similarities to a plethora of baked goods.
Like, I don't know if you ever have seen a meringue mouse, but I've seen a meringue mouse in several different bakeries.
How many bakeries are you going to, hungry boy?
Mate, I'm a hungry boy.
Piggy over here.
Yeah.
Was that on a road trip in your new car? You're like, oh, we'll stop in this town and this town and this town. Yes, please. Still hungry.
So bakeries, call up, defend yourself, 133353. Or if you can think of another menu item that you've seen at several country bakeries around the country, then I'd love to hear from
smiley
you.
Smiley faces with the pink icing and the smarty eyes.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's definitely one.
Yeah.
Hey, Cam, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Cam. What do you reckon about this?
Well, I know I go up to Bonnie Doon and we go through a town called Yark.
Yeah.
And there is two separate bakeries.
Yeah.
There's one that makes fantastic homemade pies.
Yeah.
And the other one that says they've got the world famous pie.
Yeah.
And it's made in Brunswick.
It's made in Brunswick. Is it a Boss is it a Boss Castle pie?
Oh. It is.
Oh.
And it is apparently the world famous Yark pie made in Brunswick.
This is what I'm saying.
That's disgusting.
They're buying in pies. Bakeries aren't baking anymore. Yeah, they pretend to be tired in the morning. They're not tired.
Do not.
Because they're not baking.
Saying they're faking tiredness?
Well, they've probably just hung over from the night before because they get to go home with all their benefits because they're saving so much money because they don't have to bake.
Putting on fake bags under their eyes with mascara?
Yeah, man.
Been baking all night.
Anti-eye cream. Haven't you heard of it?
Do not tarnish every bakery with the same, you know, egg-covered brush. Because there are ones doing the right thing.
Oh, mate. And you can tell, though. You can tell the bakeries that are different, though.
We need to reward those ones.
They have different style things in the cabinets, you know?
Do you respect bakeries, mate?
We can't name bakeries any specific bakery. Thank you very much, Producer Bell. We will not name specific bakeries. That would be slanderous.
I named Brumbies already.
And that would be against our broadcasting law. Thank you so much for reminding me how to do my job, Producer Bell. Hey, Zoe. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
That's good. What do you think about this? Do you think every bakery is the same?
Yeah, because I think that they don't make them themselves, because, like, every single bakery has the exact same thing.
And what thing are you getting at the bakery, Zoe?
Mostly cheesy mite scrolls, because I really like them.
Oh, they're good. Well, I mean, a cheesy mite scroll is at your Baker's Delight, Zoe, and the Baker's Delight is a chain, so they're allowed to be the same, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're all branded the same, you know?
Can you explain the franchise model to Zoe, please?
So, Zoe, what you can do if you want to franchise a bakery, you could buy a Baker's Delight and you could own the cheesy mite scrolls for that town, because it's called a franchising development.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts on that?
Amazing.
11-year-old Zoe telling it how it is.
Tony, you're a chef. You're in your 40s. You've probably seen a few bakeries. Mate,
I have.
What do we reckon about this? Am I onto something?
The reason everything tastes the same is because there's only a few major suppliers of all the large quantities of ingredients.
Yes!
And they supply standardized recipe cards with standardized costing. So they make life very easy for basically for lazy bakers.
Yes!
So most of them probably are making it in store.
Okay.
But it's all made from the same...
Same ingredients.
It's the same pastry fat and the same muffin mix. It's the pastry fats. When you go to one of those country bakeries and everything sort of tastes the same as another country bakery, it's because the large, I guess you call them lard companies, are supplying... the same product. So it's all these pastry fats to give an extended shelf life, because if you use butter, it's twice as expensive and it doesn't give the shelf life of these manufactured products which are using hydrogenated trans fats.
Tony, this is exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking they were either buying it in already made or they have a standardized recipe, and you've bloody well proven it.
They pretend you knew the answer.
Standardized recipes given to bakeries by the suppliers to encourage them to use their product, just like when you go onto a website for a little chocolate company or something that you buy in the supermarket, all the recipes use their chocolate.
That's embarrassing, Tony, for a baker, because it's like a baker getting an old El Paso taco kit, or a chef, and just going, I'll read the box here.
Pretty much, that's it.
Isn't there some pride in baking these days?
There is in some bakeries, but not in the ones that the sorts of ones you're talking about. They're trying to be all things to all people, and they've got so many different things that they're trying to produce. Yeah. They'd be better off if they halved the number of things that they did and just did it well.
Yeah.
But they're just trying to have so many things on offer, and you can't keep that number of products fresh.
No,
but
it's not a great business model.
Just
you know?
Do a bee sting and be done with it.
133353. Am I onto something here?
Yeah.
Bakeries?
I think we've solved it.
Yeah, but apparently there's more in this. Producer Bell wants me to keep going, so I will. This is New Vance Joy. It's called We're Going Home here on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. It's off the album Nation of Two. It's called We're Going Home by Vance Joy, little local boy, here on Triple M, new music with Tom and Ollie. We'll get to Maddie Rice very soon from an awesome Melbourne International Comedy Festival show called Fleabag. You might have already seen it at the Adelaide Fringe. We'll chat to Maddie very soon.
It's a one-woman show as well, Tom.
It is a one-woman show. Bakeries are shuddering in their boots, though, Ollie.
Shuddering in their boots, you say?
Shuddering or shivering.
Yeah.
We've just revealed that country bakeries import ingredients and have recipe cards, and they all bake the exact same products.
It's conflicting, isn't it? It's kind of sad, in a way.
It is.
To know that your local baker isn't taking pride in his own personal family recipe.
Well, I reckon you can tell the difference between like a bakery that's getting these imported ingredients and bakeries that are actually doing their own work.
You need to get in touch with Nick McKenzie at Fairfax Media and do a full, you know, two-page report, Tom.
Producer Bell, get onto that.
Tom's exclusive.
Good thumbs up.
Bakeries using recipes that are fairly standard across the board.
It's pretty incredible. I feel like it's more of a Vice Media story.
What would the headline be?
Fakeries.
Delve deep with Tom Bainbridge as he discovers the harsh truth behind bakeries recipe.
G'day, Ben.
How you going?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
Mate, we're nearly at the weekend. Are you excited?
Oh, I've still got a day and a half to go.
Oh.
Day and a half? What are you doing on a Saturday?
I own my own butcher shop.
Oh, there you go.
So we work 6 days a week.
Mate, is there butcher's secrets that we haven't tapped into?
Don't tell me that you're importing the same ingredient.
Well,
okay, you go.
But we make all our own products, so we don't worry about.
You're one of the good ones.
Yeah, we turn meat into things, not things into meat.
Oh, you're sort of creating, more like a lasagna or something?
No.
Oh, we don't do pre-cooked meals, but we make all our own goods, all our own burgers, snacks, everything.
Ben, next door, you're saying there is a bakery, though?
We have a family-owned bakery two doors from us that we supply meat to for their pies. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've seen firsthand that they make their own product. In fact, I've been waiting since last winter for them to restart making their wagon wheels.
Oh. See, but this is the thing, Ben. There are definitely country bakeries out there that are fighting the good fight and steering clear of these imported ingredients. And you can tell.
Oh, these guys are fighting a good fight.
You know, you can tell when you bite into a country bakery or a wagon wheel or a country bakery pie with that chunky beef, you go, this ain't important. Imported.
Yep. Nope.
It's important and it's not imported, you know?
No, you're right. There's plenty of generic stuff out there, but I can guarantee in our little town of Longwarry, the baker is awesome.
Well, give you a bakery a shout out. Uh-huh. Your butcher a shout out, sorry.
Oh, the meat safe in Longwarry. Yeah.
Yep, I'll head along, definitely. Thanks, Ben. Yeah. Mark, I'm on.
Why were you giving me the wrap up signal to wrap up, Ben?
Oh, we've covered it.
Oh, you know. Mate, come on, give him a plug. He's an SBO. What, you hate SBOs? No, you hate small business owners?
I don't mind Ben, but you're just banging on about baked goods now for no reason. We've already revealed it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go on.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Mark, what's your story about bakeries?
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, mate. Blow our minds all over again here. What's going on?
Oh, look, I've been in the baking industry for, I'm well into my 40s, but since I was in my teens, and like we made everything virtually by scratch, like from scratch, the sausage rolls, the pies, pasties, you name it. But there are generic things that do go through because there's a lot of processes to do some of those things, and it's just time value, you know.
But would there be creep in the sense that you might make one thing like a vanilla slice batch version and then go, you know what, that was pretty easy. How about we make this as well?
Oh, well, look, with the vanilla slices, you make your pastry sheets and then there's a premix for the custard. So that's the way it works in a bakery, just to save time. You'll like White Wings or someone will send you, you'll order on a truck certain ingredients that will come from certain companies, Bake Elves or wherever.
Yep.
And that's when you put the two together to make your finished product.
Well, so, you're a bakery, not a custardry, you know?
I would never use like inserted or pre-recorded content for this radio show, you know?
No, it's got to be fresh.
Fake news.
You know, I would never do anything like that.
Don't be rude.
I would never play.
No. And we would never do a pre-recorded show.
Never.
Never.
I would never chat to a guest
before
the show.
Sacrilegious.
And then play that out in the show.
As if it was live.
Oh, that'd be ridiculous.
It's disgusting.
Coming up live, though, next, Maddie Rice. She's performing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in a show called Fleabag, and I can't wait to talk to her.
Bring her in, Belle.
Bring her in. Oh, she's definitely out there. Jeez.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Sometimes an answer leads to even more questions.
I got bitten by a redback on my private part.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, man, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is coming to a close this Sunday. Can you believe it?
It's been a good run for us, Tom. Lots of comedic guests walking in and out of our doors.
Has.
And great chats, good times.
We've only got two left. Two more comedic guests for the Melbourne Festival. Tonight, Well, up later, we'll have Lucy Peach.
Yeah, they're both tonight.
Which is cool. But up next, we have Maddie Rice. She's performing in a show called Fleabag. Mm-hmm. She's self-described as a disaster feminist.
Bad feminist.
Bad feminist.
Sex-obsessed bad feminist.
Mm, it's up next. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Turn a blind eye, hunters and collectors. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We'll give you an update on the Mick coin that we've stolen. We want to know where we should stick it very soon.
Tom, it's the end of the week for us on a Thursday, and that means it's actually our last chance to have comedians on the show.
Before the end of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Of course, Sydney will be coming up very soon.
We've had so many big names and so many talented acts, and this one's a bit of a unique one. Her name is Maddie Rice, and she's performing a show called Fleabag, which is taken from a TV show from the UK, which has been a huge hit. Now, I'll get Maddie to explain maybe the crux of it, but Maddie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, you're from the UK, obviously.
I am,
from London.
London town.
London town. Welcome for
don't
one.
Don't just fall into the accent either, Ollie. I don't think you want that, okay?
The whole chat is going to do to London accent.
I was looking forward to it, actually.
I'll try not to fall into accents. But tell us, so Fleabag is, I'll read this bit here because I like it. Fleabag is a self-absorbed, self-confessed, bad feminist who is obsessed with sex. Great premise for a character.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realise it was going to cut off there. That's great.
That's all it says.
Obsessed with sex.
Yep.
Who is obsessed with sex?
Yes.
Sex and that's it.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, she is. So basically, the show is like a confessional monologue.
Right.
Where it's a woman being like hugely candid about sex and all the worst sort of thoughts that she has. And she just tells you them and expects you not to be shocked.
Great.
And just deadpan watches you all like scream at these
awesome.
Sort of like handprints of periods on walls and things like that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. And I think it's a comedy.
That's good.
But
you say that like you're sort of also prefacing something else.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, like, so it's not a porn. it's a comedy. But the character basically uses like sex and comedy and shock jokes to sort of cope with a lot of trauma and kind of the rubbish stuff that she's going through in her life, and completely distracts you from that with all of these escapades and stories of how she's used her sexuality. And it is, it's not for the faint-hearted. If you don't want to hear anything rude, then just try not to come. but yeah, it's funny because it's stuff that you, I think most people think or say to their best mates, but then would not say in front of a crowd of 200 people, but Fleabag likes to just tell everyone.
Well, the opening scene of the TV show, I've only seen episode one. It was on iView a few weeks ago, but it's the opening scene is that she's panting and she's trying to scull wine, pretending like she's gotten home from a big night out so that she has an excuse to call a one-night stand. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah.
And so she's trying to put on the act that she's, you know, this drunken mess that's calling a one-night stand, but really she just wants the set.
Exactly. So that's the sort of thing that you would not admit to.
No.
So obviously Fleabag is like, the truth is I just want some sex, so I'm just going to pretend like I've been out all night. So it's okay for me to just text someone at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And then she gets on like a little trench coat with nothing on. She's just, I've just come home. And it's like, that's so the thing, great. Is like anyone else.
Do you
would
know
just
other
like,
girls who have done that? Like,
I mean, not necessarily exactly that, but it's, we've all done things that, you know, where you pretend that you're completely, a lot of it is pretending to be super cool about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I just popped home and you just popped into my head. But actually it's like all night I've been thinking, how can I get him round?
Yeah, and we all write texts where it's like, how can I sound offhand and just oh, what are you up to? It's like, I've thought of hours about this deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
True. We all do it.
I love this idea as well that you saw the show before actually performing in it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. So one of my friends told me, because Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's the writer, did it in Edinburgh Comedy Festival in 2013. And it was amazing because I think before that show, everyone thought of one-woman show shows as being a bit sort of like dusty and a bit like, wah.
Oh, I don't want to say the vagina monologues again.
Oh,
you know?
And an hour of a woman talking on a stage. And then she did this show and during that festival, everyone was sort of talking about it and it sold out really quickly. And then she did a Soho Theatre run, which is the show that produced the theatre that produces Fleabag tour. And one of my friends was like, you have to come and see this show because I know that you'll just be obsessed with this character and you'll want to play it and you'll just love it. And I did feel like that. And then a year later, the director had seen me in a comedy show in Edinburgh and was like, do you want to audition for it? And I could not believe it. I was like, this is super serendipitous and weird. Yeah.
And here you are. Amazing.
And here I am.
Oh, it's getting rave reviews in the UK, like heaps of 5-star reviews. How have you found the Aussie audience taking to it?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually been really different city to city, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is quite weird.
Because you've been to Perth, Brisbane and Sydney already this year.
Yeah. Perth, Brisbane, Sydney, and where else have we been?
And Adelaide. Yeah. And Adelaide, yeah. Wow.
And Adelaide, yeah. And then Melbourne. So yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities in humour, as in Australians and people from the UK all like kind of dry, understand sarcasm and a bit of filth is okay.
And dark stuff.
Yeah exactly. I do feel like there are certain things that actually the British audiences tend to kind of make noises like this, which are like, oh no. It's like they start to laugh and then they're like, no, don't laugh.
Don't check themselves.
Giving yourself away. Exactly. Whereas I think like normally in Australia, it seems to be either people just laugh or they just don't laugh because they're like, that's rude or that's not cool.
Yeah, okay.
I have so much more to chat about, Maddie. Do you mind sticking around?
Yeah, is that cool? Sure. Yeah.
Amazing. You're with Maddie Rice. She's performing a show called Fleabag. I'm pretty sure only the Saturday matinee is left. So head to comedyfestival.com.au. Search Fleabag there. But more Maddie Rice after this. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. When I come around Green Day, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Get in contact at any time via our Facebook, Instagram or Twitter pages at Tom and Ollie.
Tom, we're still chatting to Maddie Rice, who's doing a one-woman show called Fleabag at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And it's based off a TV show. Maddie, I love how this character is described as, or self-confessed, bad feminist. Mm. Is that a character or a persona that you can ID with in some ways?
Well, I think the phrase, I quite like the phrase bad feminist because you are still being called a feminist, but you're not a good one. I like that. But I think that is more relatable because, you know, there's all these things that you are supposed to be sort of holier than thou, maybe, if you're confessing to be a feminist, which really everybody is, because everyone is, well, everyone it believes that everyone should be treated the same.
Yeah.
But I think there are little things, like there's a podcast, which is in Australia as well, Guilty Feminist. Have you heard of it?
No.
Which is really good. And essentially it's like a load of confessions. So it'll be like, I'm a feminist, but, and then they do a load of things. So there's one that was that she was on the Women's March and then she stopped just for a minute just to go and buy some mascara because she needed some makeup. And then she went back to the Women's March.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. It's like we're all human and we're all trying to be good people and good feminists, but also sometimes, you know, we don't treat ourselves that well and we just dress up in these coats and
Totally.
People. But like, yeah, it's allowing for a bit of mistake and error in the pursuit of trying to be good.
I think it was Deanne Smith, a comedian from Canada, who was doing a joke about she's a lesbian and she has her partner who she respects and, you know, there's a lot of love there, but then she also can't help but acknowledge the darker side where she's like, yeah, I want you to, you know, be bad and tell me that I'm this or that and I want to get that dirty stuff out, which is conflicting with some of those more idealistic feminist ideas.
Definitely. I think that's so much of the why this show is really good, because it's pushing those reactions out of people. Because I think we've realised when doing this show that some people, it's reactions, especially some men actually, are like, I don't really want to hear you as a woman who looks very polite to talking about this stuff. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And then you talk to them after the show and then it's sort of, we realise together that that is actually something that we've been conditioned to think. Because it's funny when guys talk about this kind of thing. And it should be funny and it is when women do. But I think we've got this, there's still a shadow of this kind of sheen that we're meant to be very polite and not really doing these
things. And I'm sure a lot of the blokes in the audience might experience that and then at the end go, oh, what a relief. I can enjoy just watching a woman, you know, unload about all this crazy full-on stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that guilt thing that we all get sometimes where you feel like you should be a good person, but there are some things that are stopping you from being a good person, or you should be able to listen to a show like this and not feel anything. But any time that you realize that you're objectifying someone, or you're going to buy mascara, like, that's good, because you realize that everyone has these things. Yeah. We're not perfect. And every time you do something like that, you get better.
Mm.
Maddie, don't tell our audience that. I don't think the men of Triple M need to be told that what they're thinking is okay. They are sickos.
Sort your lives out, guys. Not cool.
No, it is true that it's complex, and it's funny you say that, Tom, but I think there's an element, maybe in this show, the message is that there's no black and white in all this stuff.
Oh, my God, no.
Is that kind of the moral, do you think?
I think the main thing is it's just about, like, humans and human error, and it being... like, we all need to be okay with each other, but also we need to allow everyone the space to be human beings, rather than having this sort of old-fashioned male gaze of a woman where we're all meant to sort of not kind of yield and not be too rude.
And you can be a feminist, but you can have this other side, or you can be a vegan, but you can sometimes enjoy other stuff, or you can be a bloke who's macho, but also not. I think that's it's a big message.
That's the thing. It's when you feel like, sometimes I think we all feel like if we're trying to be a man or
a label,
then you can't let yourself have any other thing going on. It feels like you're distracting from that sort of presence.
Amazing stuff. We have to leave it on that amazing message. Maddie Rice from Fleabag. You're performing at the Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival show. There should be some tickets left for the Saturday matinee show, so comedyfestival.com.au. And if you do want to check out the TV show, head over to iTunes and just search Fleabag. Maddie, it was such a delight talking to you, and I can't wait to see this show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Maddie.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Two best mates.
I'm sick of you.
Oh, yeah?
And 3 hours of questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Just thought I'd play two things there.
Nice, like that? Yeah, that was good. I really liked what you did there.
Thanks. Hey, how lovely was Maddie Rice?
Lovely. Beautiful, Tom.
Stop beaming.
So,
stop beaming.
I'm not beaming. I'm
thirsty, piggy.
I'm not,
come on, mate.
Don't make me out like I'm smiling normally. She's very smart as well. Good chats.
You sound surprised by that.
Oh, God. You can't do a thing right with your gaze, can you? You know? It's like, what? Oh, sorry for being straight. Sorry, I'm straight. How Triple M are you is up next. You can verse, not up next, sorry, in about 20 minutes' time, you can verse Tom and prove that he should bugger off out of here.
Triple M.
Because you know more about music than him.
Mate, don't tell the gay to bugger off.
Well, I will. I already have.
Oh,
bugger off.
That'd be right.
And we're not best mates, we're colleagues. So fix that audio from before.
Yeah. Hey, up next, we need to update you over the saga of the stealing of the Mick coin. That's right. We stole a Mick coin.
What, you mean this thing in my hand?
From Kennedy Malloy. They're worth a lot.
Last night was the operation. It went down a treat.
It went well.
It's on Facebook. Check it out, the video at Tom and Ollie.
Yeah. But up next, developments occur in the Mick coin camp. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's the one thing in excess. Triple M's Tom and Ollie will play How Triple M Are You very soon. You go head-to-head with me, the music guy of the show, to find out if you can win a Triple M music pack or a Triple M Paz pack. Hey, this is the deal, right, with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. This is the deal. You find yourself involved in a little heist, don't you? Because, guys, you listened last night. You hear that Kennedy Malloy have a currency called Mickcoin, and you hear that Tom and Ollie go steal the coins, you know?
Yeah, look, last night I thought I was Oddlaw from... Where's Wally for a bit there? I really was sneaking around the place in a yellow top and just getting coins. And here I have it, Tom, a Mick coin.
Oh,
it was a struggle.
It's beautiful.
To find that second draw, but we did find it. And they were where we were told they'd be by young James Blake, who's a
assistant producer.
Assistant producer.
Gets coffee from a spaghetti shop, yeah. Not an actual coffee shop, for
lives
the biggest
mum.
drive show in the country.
Yeah, so look, he came good with the location of the coin. We now have a coin.
There's been a lot of comments on the Facebook Live video, Ollie. Tom and Ollie is where you can go to see that one, Ollie with a Y. DW Justin says, I'm naked, give me one. So good on you, Justin. I'm not going to give you one just because you're naked.
No. Normally you are pretty forthcoming with
pics to prove it, though.
Naked guys.
No, I can't ask for sexting pics.
No, it's illegal.
It's illegal.
Most of the comments are saying, oh my God, Mick's going to kill you. Have you read those comments? There's a lot of a lot of Mick's retribution is going to come back. So that's why I returned 9 of the 10 coins.
Hang on, what?
Yeah, because you know I took the whole bag of coins. You said bring the whole bag.
Bring the whole bag, and you brought the bag of coins.
Look, it can be a good move sometimes to take the whole bag, but I figured this time I felt guilty, and Bell was like, our producer Bell was like, guys, we said we take one coin, so I returned the 9 and we've kept one. Because that's fair play.
I need to smack your bottom for doing something like that. That's ridiculous.
Oh, no thanks, Daddy. That's, you know, let's be fair and reasonable. One coin's enough. Because we are...
Okay.
Otherwise, they're going to be on our backs and say, oi, give it back, and the fun's over.
Mate, hey, surprise, surprise, that's what I want.
Well, I don't want Mick on my back. Maybe you do.
I'm trying to get us on their drive show, mate.
Oh.
That's the whole point of this, obviously. Come on.
Okay. Well, we can go in and just trash their office. That might get us on the show. Is that what you want? Just more exposure? More is more?
Well, we've been trying to figure out what we're going to do with the coin. And it was Adrian last night that called up and said this.
I think you should glue them to the desk so they can't pick them up.
Oh.
Good reaction, Ollie.
I'm a big fan of this idea.
Yeah.
I want to stick it somewhere because to me, it's just very high school to stick something like a coin on the... How many times have you walked past a coin, bent down to pick it up and gone, oh, it's stuck there? Like... for me, at least 5 times in my life, and every time it's just like, oh, God damn it. Thanks for playing my reaction back. That's
no
good.
Worries.
So I just think it's a good petty joke.
It's great.
And then there's a coin. It's, you know, petty. It kind of works.
And it fits into our brand, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, juvenile.
We call you Tom Petty because you are Tom and you're petty. So to me, it makes sense. The question now is, where do we stick it?
Where do we stick it?
I think for me, my first preference is the footpath outside work.
Because you want it here at work, don't
you? The footpath outside work, everyone will walk past it. Mick and Jane will walk past it every time they leave work. And to me, that is just a repeat win.
Yeah,
it's just tick the boxes every time. There it is. There's the coin. God damn those Tom and Ollie boys.
Well, but that's boring. You know, 133353, where should we stick the Mick coin? Where should this Mick coin live? Because Mick and Jane, they're selfish. They're only giving them to single people and trading them for goods or services. Not us. No, no, no. We're the people's show. We give back to the people. Oh. And we stick the coins where you can have a piece of the coin, you know?
You can't say people's show, Thomas.
Why not?
That's a trademark by a different show. Andrew and Hamish have that. So
that's
the people's show. But this coin is the person's coin.
The person's coin. We'll stick it somewhere where you can have a piece of it. 133353, where should we stick this coin? And don't say up my ass, because...
Well, some people said down Mick's slot, Mick's coin slot.
Oh.
Meaning his plumber's crack.
That's rude. 133353, you're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Shane, Collective Soul. Shine. Collective Soul. Triple M. You and Tom and Ollie.
Oh, sorry, Ruin. Nah, you're right. Doing radio the right way, Tom, on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. And Tom just tried to do a good little bit and I ruined it, which is good fun.
I've heard that thing being called donutting.
Donutting?
Yeah, talking between the lyrics.
Is it? That's cool.
Yeah, it's
you'd be loving that then, wouldn't
different
you?
Different radio show on a different radio station, okay. So I won't mention their names, but good stuff.
Have those stations, or whatever station it is, have they got a Mick coin? I don't think they do.
Mate, definitely not.
They ain't got Mick Malloy, and they haven't got Mick or Mick and Jane, Kennedy Malloy. And
the best drive show in the country.
And look, I feel bad that this is all very Mick Malloy focused. What's, you know...
Mate, Jane's fine with it.
Has Jane got a coin?
She doesn't need a coin.
She's above that.
She's got as many Mick coins as she wants.
Yeah. She doesn't want any.
Nah, she's cool.
Doesn't need them. You've got real coins. So,
Don't not talk about Jane Kennedy's money on this show, please.
Okay. Well, I'll mark, sorry, that's a new rule. I'll have to mark that one down. I wasn't aware of that.
But we have stolen a Mick coin. It's Kennedy Malloy's currency. They're away this week, taking a roster week off, but they'll be back next week from 4 o'clock. And I don't want to be in the building when they find out that one of their Mick coins has disappeared. Here's what we've done. We've stolen it and we want to stick it to something. So 133353, where should we stick this Mick coin? It's just like that prank that you would have done as a 12-year-old where you stick a coin at a supermarket and then people bend down to try and pick it up and it's stuck to the floor.
Glued. Seriously glued with super glue.
John Fogarty on Facebook said...
The Fogs. Come on.
Yeah, the Fogs. He said super glue the coin to Mick's desk or just outside the studio.
Well, that's like my idea. Very similar. And Stephen as well said...
I don't know about these.
Stick Mick's coin to the back of the urinal at the All Nations Hotel so we can take a piss on it when we go for a beer.
A bit rude.
Oh, come on, mate. That's exactly what we want.
Oh, okay. We'll keep them coming in. Tom and Ollie on Facebook at 133353. Hey, Joe.
How you going, boys?
Where should we stick this Mick coin?
Well, in a similar vein to the last guy, I think you should glue it to the bottom of the toilet bowl.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's a good gag, isn't it?
So that you have to physically put your hand in the toilet water to fish it out.
And they'll fail.
And they'll fail.
Yeah. I don't want to go too graphic, but people are, you know, really doing their business right on the coin then, aren't they?
That's right.
It's a real slight. It's definitely a dig. But I'm okay with that.
Really? I just don't know how I feel about defecating on
Mick's
face. Because Mick's face is on this coin.
Yeah. Well, you mean, you it was your idea to steal the coin. So don't start pretending like, oh, hang on, a rivalry. Oh, I can't hack it. Because we're in this now, mate. We're bloody in this.
Mate, I can Grant hack this.
Grant hack this.
Oh, I should say Grant hack it. Oh. Hey, Chris.
How are you guys?
Where should we stick this coin?
I reckon you should get two of them, and if he's got a spare pair of shoes lying around the office, stick them to the toes of his shoes underneath so it sounds like he's tap dancing.
You can do a tap dance around the studio.
Yeah.
We unfortunately don't have access to his shoes, though, Chris. We'll have to figure something out there. I would love to see Mick Malloy tap dancing.
Oh, wouldn't that be good?
Oh.
Alongside Hugh Jackman, maybe.
Oh.
That'd be a fun story arc.
God, it'd be glorious.
Who would be the better dancer?
Hugh Jackman would.
Yeah, good.
Hey, Craig, where should we stick the coin?
Well, initially I was actually thinking of finding the seediest, most filthy, drug-addled public toilet in Melbourne and sticking it in there.
Okay, that's weird.
Why would your brain think that?
I don't know. But listening to somebody else has already had the public toilet idea, so I just think you stick it on the back of his head.
Bell, are you putting these calls through as a gag? Bell, our producer?
Was that a joke call, Bell?
Oh, no. I reckon we do that. I reckon we stick
it to the back of his head.
Get Mick in here. We'll stick it to the back of his head.
He won't know what's going on either.
We'll run up behind him. Just get the glue ready and bang, whack it on.
Peter, where should we stick the Mick coin?
I think you should stick it on Mick's fridge with super glue.
On his fridge?
Yeah.
On his bar fridge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll keep trying to get it and he'll see it every time he goes to his fridge.
Are you picturing him every time he goes to the fridge to try and get it off? Because I have a feeling that he'll figure it out after the first go.
No, not Mick.
133353, where should we stick the Mick coin? I'm thinking maybe some kind of landmark or something.
Nah,
you know?
Stick it to the back of your head, Tom.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, you're noggin.
133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stuck in the middle with you, Steeler's wheel. That's what Bell's saying all the time. It's like, get me out of here. Producer Bell's saying, get me out of here. I'm stuck between the two of you two.
A big sandwich, isn't it, our show?
Oh, big Tom and Ollie sandwich here on Triple M. After the next about 10 minutes or so, we'll get to how Triple M are you.
You're going down, Tom. If you're pretty good at music, get involved in that one and verse Tom in 10 minutes. But right now, we're chatting about the Mick coin. The Mick coin that we stole off Kennedy Malloy, it's a one of 100 limited edition minted coins. It's got Mick's face.
Yeah.
And they're really nice coins. They're kind of...
They're weighty.
They're not quite the quality or the weight of a real currency coin.
Could I destroy a bit of the image here in that it's a bit like a token? You could call it a Mick token.
Oh, mate, you've gone too far.
Have I?
I mean, there's defecating on the coin, and then there's calling it a token. But you're right. I was going to say, it's not as weighty as a real coin, but it is more like a token you get at gaming.
At Top Fun.
Time Zone.
At Time Zone, yeah.
Like a roller coaster theme park where they use coins.
But way more goldy.
It is nice and goldy. Look, if you got it, you'd be chuffed.
It's like a commemorative coin.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's good. Well, I want one.
The Queen's head.
And I've got one. 133353. Where should we stick this coin, though? As a bit of a practical joke. Matt, where do you reckon we should stick the coin?
I got two suggestions for you. One, either in the urinals at the Richmond Football Club, or to get really, Mick really, really upset, how about in the Collingwood toilet? Where he could never, ever get to it.
I don't mind the footy theme, but Bell, our producer, did just say there's no more urinal calls, and then we've just gone straight to Matt, one of two calls, and his answers are both urinals.
What's the fixation of the urinal, Matt?
I just reckon it'd be funny if it was in the Collingwood ones, Mick could never get to it.
Surely he's...
And he had help with that.
Isn't he one of the... Oh, yeah, in the Collingwood ones, yeah, he couldn't get there, could he?
No, he's not a member.
Isn't it more in his face, though, if it's at the Richmond one?
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
It's his club, though, so it's kind of like all his fans and friends would be there.
Just weighing on his face. It's still not. I still. It doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
The urinal stuff, the toilet stuff doesn't sit well. No, hey, Chris.
G'day, how you going?
Where should we stick this Mick coin?
The Spire, the Arts Centre in Melbourne there, just all the way up right on the top, and the only way he can get it back is if he goes up with pegs on his nipples. In his G-banger.
Okay, you've made up the last two rules.
You've gone all the way in your head.
Is it plausible?
Yeah. Look, I can't see it happening. Do you reckon it's possible?
Oh, absolutely. Mick would be up for anything, surely.
How about, so the Arts Centre in Melbourne with the Spire there, it is quite iconic. How about just the weird artwork at the bottom of the Spire, maybe at the top of the weird black wave thing?
That could work.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing like seeing Mick Molloy with a couple of pegs on his boobies.
Yeah, no,
in a G-string.
you're still making that up in your head, Chris. Yeah. But I like where you're thinking there with the Spire at the Art Centre in Melbourne.
On Facebook, Tom Ash has said, "Stick the Mick coin in the bottom of Molloy's coffee mug."
I don't mind that.
I don't mind that, but I mean, it's easy to go and get a new mug, isn't it?
Yeah. Do we stick it in his chamber pot in his studio? Because he does have the chamber pot in the studio.
Again, Tom, back to the toilet stuff. So he's got to go to the potty on
it.
Does
he use it, though?
Yes, every day.
Does he?
Yes, during before the big second hour.
Is that why the curtains go down in the studio?
At 5 o'clock, the rolls go down and he has to do a number two.
Scotty, where should we stick the Mick coin on 133353?
Smack bang in the middle of the MCG. Just bury it a little bit under the surface, right in the centre circle.
I like that, Scotty.
I have another one too.
Okay.
Or the same thing, under Kevin Bartlett's shoe on the statue just outside the MCG.
That is very good. So the statue out the front of the Melbourne Cricket Ground, you put it on the shoe of Kevin Bartlett.
Yep, I reckon.
Fabled footy player, highly respected, and just stick a poxy coin that Tom called a token on his foot. What would the real Kevin Bartlett think?
I think you'd like it, actually.
I think you'd like it. You might do. Look, a lot of good options there.
I really like it.
Keep them coming through on Facebook. On Tom and Ollie, you can send a message or you can write in our wall, make it public. Be out and proud about it.
Yeah, I think we've still got some deciding to do on where to stick that coin. So Tom and Ollie on Facebook, as you said.
But, I mean, we'll meet again, Tom, with this discussion on Monday when the crew is back.
Well, Ollie, why don't you flip a coin to find out when we'll... No, I just wanted to get the coin involved. I felt like the coin was being left
Tom
out.
And Ollie on Triple M. It's like Parliament Question Time with less name calling.
You have a face like a kicked in biscuit tin, Tom.
Maybe not. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, some lovely messages coming through on Facebook at Tom and Ollie. Jared said that we should stick the Mick coin that we've stolen from Kennedy Molloy, who are back next week. He said that he's going to Europe in June and he could throw the coin in the Trevi Fountain in Rome.
Oh, wow. Is that famous?
So that's very good.
I haven't been there.
What? You don't know the Trevi Fountain?
No, never heard of it. Don't care. Not embarrassed. Tia said, put the coin on the bumper of Mick's car.
Oh, I like that.
Which is ballsy.
Lindsay said, stick the coin in the middle of his computer screen.
Interesting. I don't know if he has a computer at work, does he?
And I like Dean's suggestion. Stick the Bitcoin on the opposite side of his office window on the outside so he can see it but can't get to it. Very good stuff.
That. No more urinal ones as well, guys. Stop sending in. Put it in the urinal.
But keep coming through on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Tom and Ollie with a Y.
Now, 133353, if you reckon you're pretty good at music and you want to verse Tom in a challenge of how Triple M are you? It's a game where you must guess musical titles and artists. Mm. It's not too hard. It's only five songs, and Tom isn't that good. So 133353, call now. Music prize pack up for grabs, and you could be our musical hero.
Tom and Ollie, Triple M. That is new music on Triple M. It's called Greta Van Fleet, and the name of the song is Highway Tune.
Love those guys, Tom. Oh, sorry.
I've changed mics, mate. Oh, have you changed mics? Okay.
I'm over here.
It'd be good to tell me that. Hang on, let me assign you over here to mic two. There you go. You're on that mic. There you go.
That band, Greta Van Fleet, they're from Michigan, and they've got one album out. And if you heard that song just then, obviously
self-titled.
Self-titled. And they just sound like Led Zeppelin in 2018, which, you know, for a band that's got one album, how do you pull that sound out of nowhere?
I don't know.
Amazing stuff. The whole album's worth having listened to as well. Greta Van Fleet. That one's called Highway Tune.
Yeah, should have sold it at the top as well.
You should have. That's your job, Tom, to know the music, to sell the music. And ironically, we now enter a segment where it is your job to prove you know the music.
Yep.
Play that sound effect right now, bro.
Tom and Ollie's How Triple M Are You?
Answer it honestly, Tom. How Triple M are you?
Mate, as Triple M as this sound.
Triple M.
And yet you forgot to intro that last song. So shame on you.
Yeah, well.
Off the top, shame on you.
We have so got Triple M that I own a coin of Mick Molloy's face.
Well, I've got it in my hand, so yeah, well, I was the guy who went and got it.
Yeah, but it was my idea.
You're a passenger.
It was my idea, and you can't press the buttons, passenger. So you had to do the heist.
Passenger, also a band, which I know that because I know music. Now, you don't know music, and that's why you're versing Stu today in this challenge of How Triple M Are You? Good evening, Stu.
How are you guys?
Good, mate. Thoughts on that last track you just heard from Greta Van Fleet?
Led Zepp 2018 wasn't a bad assessment.
No, thank you. I know.
Stu, how long have you been listening to Triple M?
12 years, basically, since I've been in Australia.
Oh, straight from the top. Where are you from?
I'm a Kiwi.
Oh.
You're going down, boy.
You a Hierarchy radio fan? Radio Hierarchy?
No, The Rock.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's play this music challenge. The game works like this. Your name's your buzzer, and you've got to name the title of the song.
It's been going for 2 minutes so far, this segment. So
and the artist. All right, let's get into it. Stu, your name's your buzzer. Tom, yours is yours. Yep. Here we go.
Tom.
Stu.
Yes,
Long
Tom.
Way to the top, AC/DC.
Long way to the top, you say. Incorrect. That buzzer was the wrong buzzer. So, Stu, that was wrong. It is not Long Way to the Top. What is it?
It is not. It's Highway to Hell.
Yeah. Bloody Kiwi beat you, mate. It's embarrassing.
No, I should have. I just went with my gut.
Aka Daka. And you, a Kiwi. All right, here we go. Song number two.
Stu.
Oh, quick Stu, yes?
Yeah, it's Creep by Radiohead.
Oh, bro.
This is ridiculous because Stu's old. So he knows all these songs.
It's also your job. So,
but I'm a young tacker. Like, I'm 10 years younger than him.
All right, well, this one's for you then. Young one.
Okay. Tom. Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA. The campest album cover ever. That's why I know that one.
Obviously not a young person's song either. No. But well done. All right, so it's two to Stu, one
you
to Tom.
The campest album cover ever, but it was the one you got.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, isn't that saying something?
Yeah, I do like that album cover, though. Oof, that bandana. Very homoerotic.
Just that tight T-shirt.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's not wearing a T-shirt. It's just a pair of jeans, the arse, isn't it?
Oh, don't know. Here we go. here we go. Song number four.
Yeah. Tom, we're going home, Vance Joy.
Oh, God, it's too old.
Can
well
you
done.
Give me the dings?
There you go.
All right, so this is the decider, is it?
This is the decider.
You're going down, Stu.
No, it's on.
You ready?
Let's
Here we go.
Tom!
Yes, Tom.
Yes, it is the Offspring original prankster.
Well, guess what?
You did well, sir.
Tom has scraped through there. Very lucky. Stu, you fought well.
Thank you.
Do you want something? Can we give
tattoo.
Can we give him something?
We'll get him a tattoo. We'll get him our I'm on Smoko tattoos.
Yeah, great.
Send him two. One for him and a mate.
Nice stuff, Stu. Good stuff. Nice stuff. Great stuff. The best stuff.
How good was that stuff?
Up next, we're talking number plates and the cost of them, baby. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Oh. Hootie Gurus, what's my scene? Naughty After Nine, not far away. We'll be talking unique deaths.
Unique deaths.
As well as talking to Lucy Peach, who's got a show about her period at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
It's called My Greatest Period Ever. Hey, speaking of Naughty After Nine, Tom, a quick suggestion from Ash on Facebook regarding the Mitcoin.
Oh, yeah, great.
It needs a naughty sort of thing.
Well, we're going to stick it somewhere, aren't we? Because we've stolen a Mitcoin from Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, Ash says, stick it to the doorway into kittens so Mick sees it whenever he goes there.
No, that's not true.
Good stuff. All right, Tom.
Your break, so.
Yeah. Well. You know, I thought you'd give me a bit of time I've got to change my screen now to find what we're up to. So this is news today.
Producer Belly's looking at you like, what the are you doing?
Well, I can't do it all. I can't do the hooks to Facebook and then back to the content. Like, I'm not magic. What do you expect?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
No, well, aren't you a hero?
I am.
The most expensive number plate ever is on the market in the UK. F1. You can purchase F1.
F1 is in the number plate with the letter F and the number 1.
That's right, Tom. F1. Obviously, Formula One, pretty cool. $30 million is what it's going for. Over, and it's being sold by a British automotive designer, Afzal Khan, so he's doing well. He must have had enough of it.
So it was his number plate before?
Yeah, he's had that. He's had that and he's over it. What have you... If you've bought... number plate. I want to hear from you. One, because I want to know what you paid for it.
Ridiculous.
But two, in hearing that, we'll be able to hear the exact thing you've paid for.
Oh, yeah, good.
For example, you know, people getting lame old plates that mean something to them.
Do you like a personalized number plate, Ollie?
No.
Oh.
I
just did a thumbs up signal to you there because I wanted one of us to at least like personalized number plates so that people would call up.
Well, you asked me the question and then put your thumbs up, so it was way too late. I'm sorry to Belle because Belle obviously loves them. What's your plate say, Belle, the producer?
It was a present.
What does it say?
Hang on. Do you want to put it on the radio? Do you want everyone to know what number plate you got?
Oh, it's just my name, but it's got a number as well.
Belle and a number.
It's got
Belle. It's got a number and then Belle. Yeah.
Okay. And are you proud of it? You love it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's not a silly one.
No.
It's just, it was a gift. It wasn't my choice.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Look, it'd be good if it was for Belle.
For Belle.
Yeah. Because then it'd read a sentence.
Yeah. That'd be nice. If it
How
was
about
a,
eight?
If the car was a gift.
How about eight Belle?
Ooh. I eight. 133353. Have you paid for your number plate and what did you pay for it?
Good caller.
What did you pay for your number plate?
What did you pay for your number plate?
Have you got Big Boy? That'd be cool. Lil Tom.
What did you pay for your number plate?
What did you pay
for your
number
plate?
Good work, Tom, mucking in for once.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Killing Heidi with mascara. That song just doesn't get old for me. It's Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Lucy Peach, not far away for Naughty After Nine, talking about her show, My Greatest Period Ever, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We're asking right now, Ollie, on 133353.
Yeah, how much did you pay for your number plate? And I'm gonna issue a call now.
Oh, no.
It's an official call now.
No, don't initiate.
What did you pay for your number plate for your car? Because...
Actually, can I just to stop down?
Afzal Khan.
That's a really good idea. Producer Belle, can you note down that we're going to get a sound effect that says call now, which is when we're very desperate for callers, okay?
Yeah.
So it'll be like a call now.
It's got to be official.
Yeah.
Like right now is, because there's plenty of time to call. Afzal Khan has offered up his F1 number plate. Now, this is the thing. He bought it in 2008 for $800,000, almost $1 million. Mm-hmm. He's now selling it for $30 million. So even number plates can appreciate.
Can I tell you that I'm currently more enthralled by the footy show than this break?
Well, Okay. And well, I'm sorry that your ego isn't being stroked heavily enough in this segment for you to feel engaged.
And I'm a young gay lefty dude. And I
exactly.
And the footy show
number plates don't enthuse you because it's too straight and you know normal.
Oh come on, mate! The gays love the number plates.
What if we talked about number plates and speedos and funky trunks?
Oh, as in swimwear.
Yeah.
I thought you meant speedometers because you were talking about car parts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fair enough. Call now 133353 DJ. It's not your plate, but it's your mate's plate.
Yes, it's my mate's plate. Hopefully this will capture your attention a bit, Tom.
Yeah.
My mate at his 21st, all his mates chipped in and got his mum to chip in for this number plate, a player. A-P-L-A-Y-A.
Whoa, his mum contributed to that?
How much was it?
I'm not sure, I'm sorry.
Probably $10,000.
I doubt it would have been that much then, but it might be worth close to that now.
Well, that's funny how things appreciate, you know what I mean? Like, if you... Why would a plate go up in value?
Demand.
Demand. Exactly right. It's almost like, you know, what's a new business? Like, Uber would have been worthless 20 years ago. But these days, Tom, you pay a mint.
It's like securing a good web address.
Exactly right. You know, ISIS would be hard to get these days. But back in the day, you could have got ISIS and no one would care.
Hey, I can now go on to the Vic Roads website, if you're in Melbourne, and I can tell you how much stuff is going to cost. Do you want to find out?
Yeah, how much would Big Boy cost? BIGBOI.
What color do you want?
Red.
It'll cost $395.
Oh, I'm getting Big Boy. What are we doing with bloody stupid
We need music
plates?
Underneath, do we, producer Bell? Is this getting boring for you? I think...
Did Bell... Shut up. All right, John. Last call from John here on 133353. Hey, John.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Yeah, the most expensive number plate in Melbourne is Pies 1.
Is it really?
Yeah. Last time it dropped, it was about 160 grand.
Pies 1, as in Collingwood?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Who can afford that apart from Eddie?
Well, obviously, Eddie doesn't roll with it, so somebody else bought it.
Someone else has. Maybe like Sav Rocker, or one of those legends.
Yeah, but somebody actually kicked along with it, and yeah, that's the most expensive number plate in Melbourne.
Well, that's a good bit of trivia. Thanks, John.
No worries.
John, you've added more to this segment than Tom has, which is not hard to do, but well done.
I've just looked up. Unfortunately, Big Boy is not available. Sorry, Ollie.
And Ollie. On Triple M.